Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room Post Game Edition. Ryan Green, Raymond Brewer, here to discuss UNLV losing tonight 73-69 to Utah. A little bit unexpected. The Rebels were 11.5-point favorites coming in and never even led by close to that much. 73-69 again at the hands of Utah, who's now 9-8, 2-1 in league. UNLV 14-4, 2-2 in the league. And boy, Ray, with the whole Kids Day thing, 16,594 on hand, biggest crowd of the season. And, you could tell they just wanted a reason to get amped, get excited. And UNLV just didn't play the same brand of ball that it had all year. Instead, the offense looked very much like it did against teams like Kansas State and Southern Cal, with those big physical front lines that where they would drive in and then just kind of hesitate, try to kick it out. And they were just taken out of their offense. And it's kind of a lingering problem against those big teams.
Yep, season's over. Let's pack up the equipment and get into the off season, right? Awful loss to Utah. I'm sure everybody's going to exaggerate tomorrow. Folks, calm down. This is just one game. Granted, first 75 seconds, Ryan, UNLV looks great. They're up 5-0. Matt Shaw drains a three. We're already starting to write our story. UNLV rocks and rolls. Remember, Utah had lost by 17 to New Mexico. Sportsbooks had the line around 11 or 12. We think UNLV is going to absolutely cruise. We were wrong. Give credit where credit is due. Utah took them out of their game. They were ready to play. They were prepared. And they seized the moment.
And say what you will about this Utah team with the losses to Seattle and
Idaho,
a couple bad losses, but they beat Illinois, they beat Michigan, they beat LSU. They have some good wins, and they're capable of doing things. Their roster's been jostled a little bit this year. They've had some issues with injuries and whatnot, but still, look, when you got a front line that where you have 7 foot 7'3", 6'11" to rotate in and out of there, and they're producing like they did tonight, obviously it's going to change things for an opponent, especially a team that a lot of dribble drive offense like UNLV.
Yeah, going in, I knew Utah had its size, and I thought UNLV could win the game on the perimeter.
But that size had been pretty unimpressive coming in.
It was pretty unimpressive, but UNLV's size has also had some problems as well. So I thought UNLV is just going to rock and roll past these guys because they're perimeter players, but Utah defended the three-point arc very well. Kendall Walsh, for example, hits the 6-7 threes against New Mexico last week. Today, only gets off one three-pointer. They play great defense out there on the perimeter. And then Marshall Henderson, only a freshman for Utah, hits four three-pointers in like the first 12 minutes.
Yep,
and that kind of got the momentum rolling for him. Then Utah starts thinking, hey, we believe we could win. 16,000 yelling, screaming people going against us, and they just thrived in that us-against-the-world environment. Yeah, I'm sitting close to the Utah bench, and I saw them. It's pretty neat to see, actually, just to see how Utah attacked UNLV. They make a few shots, and all of a sudden, momentum is a funny thing in sports. If you have momentum, you think you could beat the world. It's like
they obviously did.
And they did, but I think it was a combo of things. And UNLV, I know you're a numbers guy. I'm a numbers guy. 22 of 34 from the line. You got to make your foul shots.
And Lon Kruger said it best. In a one-possession type of game, those look that much worse. Mm-hmm. They just look worse when you miss them in a close, tight game.
Mm-hmm. And Anthony Marshall, I think, had the play of the day for UNLV. About 8 minutes to go, a 180 reverse dunk. And, boy, he has got some hops, dude. Mm-hmm. I knew he was athletic because I covered him a little bit when he was at Mojave. And he plays great D. He had that dunk at the pit against New Mexico. But today, that was pretty cool.
You add that in with the fact that he had two blocks, he does a lot of things well, but he also had the same struggles as everybody else. 1 of 4 from the free throw line.
And very hesitant to shoot. He's only made one three-pointer this year. Even sometimes he'd get the ball maybe 2 or 3 feet inside the three-point line, open shot, and he wouldn't take it. And I know the kid can knock it down because I've seen him knock it down, but right now he's just a little gun-shy. And then for that to carry over on the foul line, a free throw is just something that it should be fairly routine, but it's all confidence with his shooting and one of four. You could get cut and dice this stat sheet over and over trying to make up those 4 points.
Obviously. And, you know, let's look at that stat sheet a little bit, because it's kind of becoming a theme for UNLV, and be it a good thing or a bad thing. You know, Trayvon Willis, 27 points. The guy's averaging 23.5 in conference games. You know, he's not being selfish with it. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's playing the best basketball of his career right now.
No doubt about it.
Chase Stanback, 14 points, 10 rebounds. Oddly enough, the first double-double of the year for UNLV.
Yeah, when you told me that, I was shocked.
Yeah, but you look up and down the stat sheet besides that, and you really just don't see anything that stands out to you on the offensive end. I mean, who do you think? I mean, look, these two are obviously in a rhythm. They're a good 1-2 punch, but there needs to be more than that. And nobody's consistently done it all year. Who do you think is the guy that maybe right now is kind of lacking? I've got one in mind. I kind of want to hear where you go with this.
Well, I don't know if he's lacking, but I think that the player who has the potential to kind of be that third leg on, in addition to Trevon and Stainback, I would say would be Derek Jasper.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's got the pedigree. He's got the size. He's good facing the basket. He's good
driving.
He's back against the basket. He plays great, and he was great. If you remember those first two games in Hawaii against SMU in Hawaii, he played awesome.
Oh, the Hawaii game, he was incredible.
And you're thinking, wow, something clicked with him. I think we talked about, okay, he had the year off on the transfer, and now he's coming into his own, and he's going to be this valuable asset. Now, today, he fouled out. It was foul trouble all the way through, so it's tough to kind of group him into – maybe being in a little bit of a rut, but you're right. Here's a guy that probably needs to pick it up a little bit. I remember the BYU game when you looked at the box score. Trevon was the only scorer in double figures. Mm-hmm. So somebody needs to step up. Maybe it's, let's get the ball more to Derek, or let's get this guy another look, or let's try to develop somebody and get somebody consistently hot. Because one game it's Kendall, the next game it's somebody else. Could we rotate this third person all year, or do we need a guy to step up and to be part of the mix?
I think they need a consistent number three. If you have three consistent scorers, pretty much anything can go your way. But if you have two consistent scorers, it's a little too easy for the opposing defense to take it away. And I know it sounds like not a very big difference, but it's the truth. And, you know, let's look at the candidates here, all right? Matt Shaw, a guy who they run that pick-and-pop play for, can step out, can hit. But, I mean, you know, look, in UNLV's offense, we don't see a lot of that traditional dump it in, see a guy, you know, back in with a couple dribbles, a couple steps, and turn around and hit something off the glass or a baby hook. You know, he can hit it in practice all the time, but when it comes to game time, they just don't run that very much. You look at Oscar Belfield. This is a guy who's proven that he can score at this level, in this league, against big-time competition in big-time moments. But this is a guy who right now they want to be running the offense. You know, he's done a good job so far.
Was the lead in the league in assists.
25 assists and 7 turnovers in 4 league games, which, you know, shows that this guy's found a nice role. They don't need 15 points a game out of him. Kendall Wallace, you mentioned, you know, he had that huge 21-point game at New Mexico. But look, when you got a guy who, I mean, really the one thing he can really contribute is great 3-point shooting on the offensive end. It's just not going to be consistent every game, because teams like Utah did tonight are going to defend it. And that leaves you with Derek Jasper. A guy who can shoot, who has been a little hesitant to shoot at times this year. A guy who can drive, but, you know, at some points has driven, stopped short, and gotten it to somebody else. You know, this is a guy who I do think, and, you know, he talked about it a couple weeks ago, needing to show more selfishness. He talked about this going into the New Mexico game. He showed some of it in Albuquerque. Now he needs to make it consistent, because if you get Willis, Stanback, Jasper, arguably your three most talented players going on offense consistently, it just changes things so much. And you know, tonight they really did need that third dimension.
Yeah, and if you look at it, Willis shot the ball 16 times, Stanback shot the ball 10 times, Shaw shot the ball 5 times, Jasper shot the ball 5 times, Wallace shot the ball twice. So they're not even getting looks or shots to have the double figure that you would like to see in terms of contributing like that. So I think it's twofold. Yeah, somebody's going to need to step up, but two, I think there's going to have to be an effort to get that third person involved, because right now I think they're real dimensional. They know that, you know, Trevon's going to kind of carry the weight. It's kind of like the Cavaliers, you know, before they got Shaq. You know LeBron was going to get his, and when push came to shove, you wanted to get the ball into LeBron's hand. But they're not going anywhere until they get, you know, a third score or a second score. And I think that's what UNLV is right now. They're kind of just stuck trying to get out a little bit of an offensive rut. And, I mean, Utah might be a great example of how to do that. They spread the ball around real well. You know Carlin Brown's going to get his. He had 16 tonight in 32 minutes. Obviously, inside they played well. The Henderson kid hit some threes. And Utah finally pieced it together, but a great balanced attack. If you look at it, they had five guys in double figures. And big win for the Utes. I was in the tunnel, Ryan, when they ran back there, and those guys looked real happy. Mm-hmm. I mean, not like they when they won the league last year, the tournament here at the MAC, but
a little bit of pressure off of them now.
You could tell that was a big win. Hey, we're not as bad as this, you know, 8-8 record looks when entering today. It's now 9-8, and that maybe good things will happen. 2-1 in the league at home against San Diego State, and you know, they got the trip to New Mexico out of the way. I think Utah's a team that I know we talked earlier about the, you know, the big three being New Mexico, UNLV, BYU, San Diego State kind of in that lower tier. I think Utah might be inching closer into that top three after if they continue to play like they did tonight.
Oh, yeah. San Diego State, I mean, they, you know, they got played to within 5 points by TCU tonight and had to scratch and claw to get back into this one. And, you know, look, let's spin this forward a bit because, you know, look, a lot of people might jump off the bandwagon now again and, you know, whatever, people are going to do that. But, you know, look, in the grand scheme, it's one loss and it's still early in conference season. You're one quarter of the way through conference play. You're 2-2. I don't think it's going to be like this the rest of the way. I don't see UNLV going 8-8 in conference. But, you know, I do see still a great opportunity on the horizon for UNLV. The next four games, you are at Colorado State Wednesday, at TCU Saturday, home for Air Force next Wednesday, next week, and then at Wyoming.
Okay, I think at Wyoming is a tough game. Wyoming's playing great on that court. Colorado State, I've told you all last week, I think they're very underrated despite getting absolutely destroyed tonight at BYU.
Yeah, a lot of people go to BYU and get destroyed.
But yeah. I think Colorado State's real tough at home. And remember, UNLV lost at TCU, lost at Colorado State last year. Not easy places to play. Air Force, Colorado State, Wyoming, higher elevation, always going to be a challenge in this league. I don't know. You think those are four winnable games?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think if they go 2-2, it's a victory.
Wow, I think you're selling a little short. But
I think you're
basically saying that, I mean, you got to figure they're going to beat Air Force here. So you're basically saying
I think they beat Air Force and TCU, and I think they lose to Colorado State and Wyoming.
Man.
Book it. Colorado State's hot right now, and Wyoming puts up a lot of points in that gym. Mm-hmm. That just the humble man's opinion.
Man.
Maybe they prove me wrong.
Glad I don't follow your betting tips.
Listen, I'm a little bit of a cold streak too, folks.
So I think 3-1. I think 3-1 is a victory.
What's the one?
I think either one of the two that you mentioned are viable losses. But you know, look, the more important thing is not the win losses, but you know, is UNLV going to get it straightened out again? Is there going to be that sluggish bounce back game on Wednesday? How do you see this team responding? Do you think they come out blazing at Colorado State? What are you feeling?
Well, when they lost to BYU, they came quick turnaround, had one practice, and looked great against New Mexico. So I think this team's sold in. They're ready to go. I think they respond and they're prepared, and they play well against Colorado State. You just got to factor in the travel and how it's tough to play up there. And I don't know if it's a winnable game. Now, I know last year they kind of – if you remember last year, this is kind of right around the same week where they kind of had their downward spiral. And if they play like they played tonight, if they struggle finding, you know, some more answers offensively, I think they're – you know, they got to – they were 1-for-12 from three. A team that lives and dies with the three-pointer, only shooting 12. They usually shoot 20 a game, Ryan.
And they usually hit more than one.
I mean, listen, your gunners, Oscar Belfield, one three-point attempt, 0-for-1. Kendall Wallace, 1 3-point attempt, 0-for-1. Trevon, 0-for-4. Granted, two of those were late with a few people in his face. A team where the offense is, okay, get the ball in Oscar's hands, drive to the hole, making something happen. When you get doubled, kick it out to Kendall for the three. Cola hasn't. We haven't seen it as, you know, the 1-for-12.
Credit you, Utah, for taking it away. They genuinely did.
Great game plan, executed it well.
The nation's most vocal coach.
Well, that guy's a riot. You see him calling a timeout? He's like all the way.
He was at the free throw line.
Yeah, timeout.
I was a little surprised the refs let that slide.
Yeah, I mean, you were close to him on press row. Is he a riot to just hear?
Oh, yeah. He talks with the media. Mm-hmm. He rolls his eyes at fans and looks at him. He's very encouraging to his players. You know, I was saying to a couple of the other guys, I said, man, but that guy would be a blast to play for. He seems like the guy who would be a very good coach to play for, and who you would kill yourself for to
build
up.
The thing, when I was a kid, I'm from Vegas, obviously, and when the Mac got loud, we used to have this thing. It was like this something to measure how loud it was, and you wanted to get it up to 100. Tonight was one of those games where the meter would have been up to 100. During some of those timeouts down the stretch, I literally don't know how either team heard in the huddle, because they got that music going on, the kids were jumping up and down, and there was, what, almost 17,000 people there. Football recruits were there as well. Good selling point.
Absolutely. 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 You covered everything, man.
Hey, I'm just saying, we're there, it's environment, you know.
Good. You lived for that environment tonight.
No, it was fun. I tell you what, my seat, though, the SID for UNLV, not that the folks care, but he's got me like in between where two tables connect, and it's very uncomfortable, and I'm looking straight at like two hoops. So if somebody's at the line, I'm like literally like looking over to see, or looking at the Jumbotron to see. Like the kid next to me from the student newspaper, I'm like literally over on him like three times. So, but listen, Ryan.
Now that you got it all out of your system.
I'm off my system.
All right.
Great game by Utah. UNLV's got a lot of work to do. Four winnable games, according to you. I think they've got two winnable games and two need some help games.
I think you are the eternal pessimist here.
I'm like, listen, and I started because I wanted to be positive on the podcast. I know that there's going to be some folks on our message boards. You know, the world's come to an end tonight. Mark it down. 116-2010. Basketball season's over. Well, it's not over. There's still plenty of time to get going. And we just, you know, like to think that you guys could support everybody the rest of the way. Win, lose, or draw.
Okay, I'm cutting you off there.
Cut me off. It's late.
For Ray Brewer, this is Ryan Green. We'll be back at it later this week. The Rebel Room Post Game Edition. We will talk to you then. Take care.